Moncrief on News Talk
with Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
And you are listening to the Moncrief Show on News Talk. 1890 453 106 is our low call number. Our text number is 53106. That will cost you 30 cents. You can follow us on Facebook or Twitter or send us an email to afternoon@newstalk.com. Henry was out talking to people about this new proposal from the Minister for Health, Simon Harris, to ban smoking in outdoor areas where people are also eating food. It's not in all outdoor areas, it's just in the eating ones. Where most outdoor eating areas not introduced to facilitate smokers in the first place, says his texter. Maybe further expansion to the middle of the roads is in order now. Somebody else says the main problem with smokers on the beach, walking down the street, outside a pub or school or workplace, is that the pavement is littered with cigarette butts they don't bin. Someone else says, I detest smoking. It's disgusting and smelly, but banning it outside is pointless. Exhaust fumes in cities are far worse and doing more damage to non-smokers. Someone else says, another thing that's really annoying is having beer gardens, which are essentially just smoking areas. With the nice weather last week, it was impossible to find somewhere to have a drink in the sun without being shrouded in plumes of smoke. Pat says, I'm a smoker, but I would never smoke where people are eating. It's common decency. Someone else says, what about barbecues? You mean the smoke from barbecues? I don't think they mean that kind of smoke, if I'm taking your meaning correctly there. To go back to the piece we did at the start of the show, that was our chat with Leanna Carr, who Leanna was, she was assaulted, sexually assaulted or groped on the streets of Dublin, but she ended up punching the guy who did it to her. To all those people who now somebody did text and it said this happens all the time, it's no biggie. To all those people who think it's no biggie, they are clearly delusional and don't understand what sexual assault is. Someone else says, years ago, one bright evening while walking down the quays in Dublin, I became aware of a group of young lads singing about my boobs to the tune of Batman. As I was crossing O'Connell Street Bridge, one of the lads turned to face me and grabbed my breasts with each hand. As it happened, I was in a foul humour and I felt a surge of anger. I stepped towards him, noses almost touch him, and bellowed F off. He turned pale. I never genuinely witnessed this before in real life and staggered back before he and his friends ran off. Oddly, my mood was much improved. And June in Kildare says, fair play to that woman who fought back. I spent my younger years working with race courses, with race horses, both in the US and here. In my time, I need many a male groin. I'd slapped a few men across the chops with a whip and fought off one with a yard brush. I'll let you and the listeners hazard a guess as to the why, says June. Crikey. Crikey. Anyway, it is time for Tell Me Why with Graham Finlay. If you have a question for Graham, you can send it into afternoon@newstalk.com. Today's question, which is actually quite a common one because this has popped up even on the show many times over the years. Today's question is, why do we hate certain words? Graham, good afternoon.
And other sounds. Yeah. So, and yes, exactly. And these are, I think you may have talked to people about this before, but these are areas in which progress has been quite recent. And so there are two particular forms of behavior. One, people, somebody asked about, why don't I like the word? And here they come, lots of triggers for people. Mucus.
Yeah.
Or moist.
Yeah, moist seems to really get people going.
It is like 20% of the population, apparently. Although, and this is something more research is needed, although for reasons which will come apparent, we're going to mess it up even by talking about it now.
Right, but, okay.
So for example, one of the questions is moist an offensive, does it provoke feelings of intense disgust or sort of shuddering or annoyance in all languages? I was actually trying to find
interesting point.
Those phonemes in other languages, and there are many, you know, most languages have similar sounds in them, but I've actually failed to find the word moist or a homophone of the word moist in another language and to find out whether people are filled with disgust.
Okay.
More research is needed. They don't even know whether people over in these islands are as averse to the word moist as people. I'm going to just keep saying it. Like 20%
of the we've had it before that people don't like the word moist. Yeah. And on the show, people going, oh God, I can't stand the word moist. Which I don't quite get because it can mean many things in many different contexts.
Sure. And there does seem to be some variance in terms of the context, right? But they still have, most of the research has been done in the United States and is only one or two studies, really.
And so, I wonder, is it because it's one of the more onomatopoeic words as opposed to, because it sounds kind of, even
sounds, you think it sounds
kind of moisty.
Moist?
It sounds moist, yeah.
See, I'm just being tempted to do more and more bad things, like trying to say moist in a moist way.
Plus also, well, mucus, I kind of understand mucus more because of because it makes you think of the thing. It can't make you think of anything else other than mucus, which is kind of disgusting in and of itself.
Exactly. So anyway, they have done studies about this, or someone did a study about this. It's quite an amazing study in many, many ways, in that they got a lot of aversive words together. They did five separate sets of experiments, which established different kinds of things. And they got some very aversive words, words I can't say on the radio.
Okay.
Some of the most aversive words, and they're even more aversive in the United States of America. You guys can look it up.
Yeah.
but they, the most exciting experiment, and they were helped in this regard, that People magazine decided they were going to take the sexiest men alive in 2013 and rehabilitate the word moist.
Okay.
So they got the sexiest men alive. You can look this up on YouTube if you're not going to be triggered. And see, well, I mean, which includes Ed Sheeran. I know.
Okay. It wasn't that. It wasn't a bumper year.
There's something, yeah, it was, you know, it was, he was on there trying to say moist in a sexy way.
Okay.
And most of them failing. and some of them going, ew, or yuck, which may be what you're thinking right now.
Ah.
And so they completely failed to rehabilitate the word moist. And conveniently for the researchers, they were able to use this video in their experiment.
Okay,
And one of the interesting, so in fact, it made it more aversive for people who watched the video and not less. So there's only the powers of Ed Sheeran are limited. In any case, the researchers were trying to find out, is it the meaning of the word? Is it the pure sound of the word? Is it the face you make when you, and they weren't really able to establish this, when you say moist. Some people, something to still be figured out is, if you say moist, do you make the same face you would make when you're disgusted by something else? And that you're sort of sympathetic with the facial movements of disgust. And that's what leads to the disgust reaction. They tried to figure out what the reactions were. And so they tried to associate, they tried to find out what people associated with. They also tried to find out some of their other things. I mean, this is why you want to be a psychologist, frankly. They asked people their opinions, as well as their views about moist, their opinions about consensual incest.
Okay. They were trying to put it in the most disgusting context possible,
or
an offensive
out whether
context.
It was related to sexuality. And again, you know, the sexuality of Americans could be different from that of people in these islands, like where people are, say, a little more aversive to open discussions or associations with sexuality. And it seems like there's no correlation between your views about consensual incest, which I don't really feel like formulating at this time for myself, and moist, right? So it has a lot more to do with disgust. And that's why things, and whereas still things which sound a lot like moist, hoist, foist, joist.
Yeah.
Nothing. Right. So
So
it doesn't seem to have anything to do with the actual structure of the sound of the word. And it has a lot to do with associations, which seem to be incredibly common with bodily fluids, right? Phlegm, vomit is also quite aversive. Crevice, let your imagination go wild.
Yeah, but also, somebody, Ronan in Galway says, discharge does it
discharge.
For me.
Discharge.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty nasty
one. Very clinical.
Yeah.
Luggage, don't know why.
What?
Yes, luggage is very aversive. The word hate is apparently one of the most aversive words for some people.
Yeah.
So there you go. Anyway, with this video, one of the problems with research in this area, and we're confounding it ourselves even as we speak, is that you can become averse to moist just by us telling you should be averse to moist, or you could be averse to moist, right? So there's been a lot of coverage of this, to the point where people decides to make the world's sexiest men say the word moist in a sexy way. And this, as happened in the case of the video, makes even more people averse to the word moist. So I'm very, very sorry. And that's a
right.
That is
okay,
Canadian
people.
People
who hadn't been previously averse to the word moist
found themselves
are
now decided
moist
maybe
haters.
I am a bit averse to the word. Now, of course, if you have Ed Sheeran saying moist in a sexy way, apparently it has this effect. If you have it in the context of moist chocolate cake and sort of lurid American, you can imagine the spreadable frosting across the moist chocolate cake.
Yeah.
Not so aversive.
Yeah.
So it really, it does have something to do with the associations. If you can somehow move the associations in a different direction. But again, all of this turns on the meaning of the words, and yet it has a very physical reaction, in this case, disgust. And in fact, it's remarkable how you can set up these associations with things. So some other researchers have said, look, if you take something which physical contact with could give you a disease,
yeah,
and you can see how this would be evolutionarily helpful, like a rat was the example this woman used. Rats, contact with your food, not good for your future prognosis. If you write the word rat on a plate and you put a branded hamburger product adjacent to this word rat, people were surprisingly less likely to eat the parts of the Big Mac.
I could see that, which
had touched the word, right? I mean, there are lots of great experiments in this regard. We talked about this in a previous show.
Mm.
If you're doing this yourself, if you put poison, a label saying poison on two vials which you know contain sugar liquid, like sugar water, you're going to be less willing and possibly completely avoid the one with the poison label. Even though you put it on yourself, you know it's not poison, right? But that presumably is an
evolutionary trait. You know that poison or rat isn't good for you.
It would be a fairly handy evolutionary trait, which is probably what's behind some of these things to do with moist. But it's now become associated with, you know, words which are just completely, in many ways, arbitrarily chosen, but not so much.
And in these studies, when they say people were averse to the words, is that, you know, did they break out in a cold sweat? Did they get a rash? Did they start throwing up? How averse were they? Is it like a phobia?
People often compare to nails going down the chalkboard.
Crikey.
And it does seem to be similar to a phobia. Phobias can attach themselves to all sorts of different things. And this is maybe the segue, because in many ways, the two conditions I want to talk about, which is the next one, is misophonia, which is an absolute hatred of certain kinds of sounds, the vast majority of which are people eating or breathing loudly.
Yeah.
Right. There's a lot of that out there as well. But this is an actual condition. And it's very, very interesting in some regard. In many ways, superficially, they seem like they're completely unrelated because the first proposal of the name misophonia was in 2000. This shows you how disorders make it into our world, right? It's still not in any of the diagnostic manuals, misophonia. And yet there's websites and support groups and all kinds of stuff to deal with for people to be helped cope with what they experience as a very real condition. This isn't sort of not liking the word moist, whether it's said by Ed Sheeran or not.
Mm.
This is feeling really strong, unpleasant feelings, not really of disgust, sort of rage.
Yes.
Fear in terms of people chewing loudly. Now, this might be evolutionarily valuable as well. If something's chewing loudly near you, you might be next. But I think it's still too early to make that connection. They didn't know even whether it was a real thing. And many scientists didn't believe it was a real thing until last year when they did a brain scan experiment, which converted the scientists doing it into believers in misophonia. So what they did was they put people who had this condition, and they put them in an MRI machine, and they played them neutral sounds, in this case, rain, right? Unpleasant sounds, people screaming, right? Babies crying and stuff like that, and the actual trigger sound. So they had a control group, and then they had people who had misophonia.
Mm.
And in fact, the misophonics did not respond to people screaming, but they had, you know, a powerful response to whatever they knew already was going to set them off. And the scientists themselves now believe that this is a real thing. And what they found was that people's brains were wired differently now. Mm. So in the misophonics. So they, it has something to do with sort of, it's in the frontal lobe, and there's just a lot more activity. And it may be, although again, it's early days yet, related to phobias, which are also involve the neurotransmitters of the frontal lobe and are partly genetic. You may be genetically predisposed to phobias. On the other hand, you can also stimulate phobias in people through electric shocks. It only takes about four to get you to have a phobia. So someday on the show when we have nothing better to do, we can make you phobic about, say, microphones or something like that. But more seriously, but this is brain wiring. I mean, this is a real neurological condition as opposed to the sort of semantic condition. And yet the transition is the same kind of mechanisms which lead to us having phobias. So, I mean, because everything has to happen in the brain in some physical way, right? And one of the things about misophonia is it tends to develop before you're 12 years old. So while your brain is still developing. And so usually, I mean, a lot of the focus on misophonia as an issue, and again, many of our listeners may be have this, develops in childhood among quite young children whose brains continue to develop, and they have this. And it apparently is quite debilitating if you suffer from this condition. And there are lots and lots of various ways people cope with it, because there's no cure, and most of the treatments are mostly allowing people to cope with it.
Yeah, but though, as you said, the electric shocks can induce this phobia. Could an electric shock cure the phobia?
Well, I mean, there's a proposed treatment of targeting electricity into your skull.
It's a bit
in the experimental stage. most of them involve sort of wearing headphones. But of course, you can trigger your misophonia even just by thinking about your triggers.
Mm.
Right. Most of them involve masking it with headphones and things like that. And a lot of the ways people try to cope with phobias by sort of habituating people to these sounds and so forth. And so again, we're the misophonia is on the sort of neurological side of these disorders, whereas moist is on the sort of semantic side. So again, I'm very curious if anybody, and we have a lot of non-native speakers who listen to the show.
Actually, one.
If there are any aversive words out there in other languages, I'd be happy to hear them.
Uta, who, and I don't know if she's phobic about the word moist, but she says moist sounds just as bad in German. It's pronounced feucht. She says, don't pronounce it unless you're a native German speaker there. Yes, and that's because obviously you could go horribly wrong. It's spelled F-E-U-C-H-T, but pronounced more or less feucht. But apparently to German ears, that's equally as disgusting.
Yeah.
lapping is a word I can't help but cringe at. The same with suckling, says somebody else. And Ivan Carlos on Twitter says, a word he can't stand is seepage. Yeah.
That's a good one, actually.
That's a good one. You can understand that one. That's a good one. Graham, thanks a million for coming into us. Fascinating as ever. Graham Finlay there. We're going to take a break. After that, how to write an instruction manual.
Moist.
Moncrief. On News Talk.
With Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. Gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.